Okay, so welcome back to Daf Week. We are on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, officially, that we're learning Daf Chaf Dalet this week. We're at the two dots, about 8, 9, 10 lines from the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, and we're still in the middle of the Mishnah that we started a while back, the Mishnah that deals with the differentiations between Truma and Kodesh, in that when it comes to Kodesh, we are extra strict, and when it comes to Truma, we're a little bit more lenient. Not that it's any... It's still a holy item, but it's a little bit less holy than Kodesh, so we're just a little bit more careful when it comes to Kodesh. So we are going to begin with the seventh difference that the Mishnah lists between Kodesh and Truma. Says the Gemara, quoting the Mishnah, "Hakli mitzarif masha betochu lekodesh avalo letruma." That a kli, if you have a, let's say, just imagine like a ladle, imagine a cup or whatever, a jar, anything that's in that kli is combined to be one, even if they're not actually touching. Even if there's like 10 individual pieces inside, if they're not touching, the kli is set to sort of combine them regarding Kodesh, but not regarding Truma, so that if someone who is Tamei touches one of those items, even if they're not touching, if they're all in the same Kli, they all will become Tamei as far as Kodesh is concerned, but they will not become Tamei as far as Truma is concerned. Okay, so says the Gemara, Menahani Mili, where do you know such a thing from? So I'm Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Chanan says, Dharmakra, we have a very simple explanation. There's a Pasuk, right? So evidently it's from according to Rabbi Chanan's perspective, this is a D'oraisa difference. It's a Torah given difference that the Pasuk says, Dharmakra, Kaf Achas Asara Zahav Malaya Ketores, right? So when the Nasi, when the princes go up and they give their dedications in the Beis HaMikdash, the pasuk goes out of its way to say kaf achas. It says one ladle, one golden ladle, worth 10 shekels that was filled with the ketores. So says the Gemara, hakasuv asau lekol masha bakaf achas. Since the Torah goes out of its way to say achas, it says one, you could just say kaf. Why kaf achas? Why one ladle instead of just ladle? Because the Torah is trying to tell us that anything that was within that ladle is considered to be like one entity. Therefore, we see that anytime you have a kli, when it comes to Kodesh items, everything in the kli is considered one entity, such that if one of the items becomes tummy, and even if it's not touching anything else, but it's in that same kli, then everything in that kli will become tummy. Says the Gemara, Masiv Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, what are you talking about? Right, that you say that this rule of our Mishnah, that everything in the kli is going to become tummy, even if they're not touching, if it was just one item that was touched. So why? Who says it's Doraisa? I have a Mishnah that will tell you that it's clearly the Rabbanan. Host of Rabbi Akiva has solas v'akatoris v'halavona v'hagechalim. So Rabbi Akiva adds the following idea in a certain Mishnah. He says that when you have the fine flour of Kodesh, and when you have the Ketores, the incense, and the frankincense, and the coals, all these things, so that all these things, she'im naga tvul yom, the miktsaso pasul es kulo, that if a tvul yom, someone who was tamei, and he was already tovel, but he still needs to just wait for the sun to set, he needs the night to come. So this tvul yom, if he touched part of anything, of any of these things, then he has made all of the things in it to become tummy. V'hadar abanani. And so says the Gemara in commenting on Rabbi Akiva's statement over here about one item that's with other items in a jar in a kli. So v'hadar abanani, that it's clear that this opinion of Rabbi Akiva regarding all that which was listed is 100% a derabanan ruling and not a Torah ruling. Says the Gemara, wait, what? Mimai, how do you know this? Midikatani Reisha, because you have to look at the beginning of that Mishnah, and the beginning of the Mishnah is clear that that's a rabbinic ruling, and if that's a rabbinic ruling, then the second part is Rabbi Akiva adding something, then Rabbi Akiva's ruling is also going to be rabbinic. So what was taught in the Reisha? I mean, the Ketani Reisha, hey, Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira, Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira gave a testimony, al efer chatas shenaga hatamei b'miktsaso, that when it comes to the chatas ashes, that if if a tamei person touched part of it, shatime eskulo, that he made all of the ashes tamei. So you touch just a few of the ashes, then all of the ashes will become tamei. And this statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira, that all of these chatas ashes will become tamei if they are all in the same kli, even though only part of the ashes were tamei. So this is understood. It's 100% a rabbinic ruling. The Katani hosts of Rabbi Akiva, and says the Gemara, that Rabbi Akiva then says later in that that Mishnah right after, and that Rabbi Akiva was Hosef. He was added. If Rabbi Akiva was adding onto that which was said earlier, and everyone agrees that the earlier statement is rabbinic, then clearly Rabbi Akiva's statement is going to be rabbinic. And therefore, if Rabbi Akiva is saying that when it comes to items being in a kli, combining, when it comes to Kodesh, that is a rabbinic ruling, therefore, the notion in the Mishnah of things combining in a kli is rabbinic and not from a Torah perspective. So the source that we quoted above, where Rabbi Chanan said that there was a pasuk, there was a d'oraisa ruling that says that everything combines. So Rabbi Akiva is clearly arguing on that opinion of Rabbi Chanan. So says the Gemara, no. Amar Reish Lakish Misham Bar Kapara. Let's calm down for a second. Reish Lakish says in the name of Bar Kapara. Very simple. Now we're on the Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. Lo Nitzrucha Ela Lishyari Mincha. This Shita of Rabbi Akiva is only needed for the remainders, for the shirayim, as it were, the remainders of a mincha offering. That the Torah ruling that a kli can combine all of the kodesh contents would not apply. So therefore, this shita of Rabbi Akiva is coming out of its way to give a rabbinic ruling in a case where the Torah is silent. But the oraisa sarach lakli akli mitzarfo, when it comes to the Torah standpoint, anything that needs a kli, then the kli will of course combine it into one entity. She'ein sarach l'kli, ein kli mitzarfo. But if something does not need a kli, then the kli does not come to combine it into one entity. So if part of the service, part of the what you need is you need a kli, so then it will be combined by a kli. But if something does not need a kli and you put it in a kli, then the kli will not combine it on a Torah level, only on a rabbinic level. Thus, the rabbanan and the gazru. And then the rabbis came in and gave a gazru. That even if something does not require a kli, still kli mitzarfu, still the kli will combine even rabbinically. So at the end of the day, we find that no matter what a kli combines, but only when something needs a kli will it be a Torah given will it be a Torah mandated rule that everything combines. But when it does not need a kli, then it's still everything combines, but it's only a rabbinic mandated ruling. Says the Gemara, fine. So tinach solas. So this makes a lot of sense when it comes to the solas, to the fine flour, because that does not need a kli. You don't need a kli when you are using it. Ketoris ulavona ma'ik le'nemar. But when it comes to the ketores and to the lavona, to the incense and the frankincense, which do require a kli. So how can you tell me there Rabbi Akiva was only talking about a kli case when you didn't about things that did not require a kli when these things do require a kli? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barabuha. So Rav Nachman says the name Rav Barabuha. Kigon shetzvar and al gabe kartavla. No, so Rabbi Akiva is dealing with the case. For example, when someone sort of piled all of them, the ketores and the lavona, on some sort of I don't know if this is 100% correct, but how I envision this is like, you know, you have like on a desk, a fancy desk, you have like a leather placemat on the desk. So that's kind of what I imagine this is. So someone takes the ketores and the lavona, and they place it on something like that. It's just like a wide open leather spread. So d'oraisa yesh lo toch mitzarif. So when it comes to a Torah standpoint, only a kli that has some sort of like an interior area that could hold things is going to combine things. Is going to combine everything. But ein lo toch ein mitzarif. But if it doesn't have an interior, if it's not like an enclosed kli, it's just like a flat thing, like this leather surface, then it will not combine everything. Even when it comes to Kodesh things, and then therefore the rabbis came along and said that the afagad de'ein lo toch mitzarif, that even though a kli doesn't have a sort of interior receptacle, still it's going to combine things when it comes to Kodesh into one entity. So therefore, again, so what was Rabbi Akiva talking about? Rabbi Akiva was talking about the case where you did not have a proper kli that had like a receptacle; it was just like a flat kli. But evidently, even Rabbi Akiva would likely agree that when it comes to the Torah standpoint, that clearly we could reconcile that according to Rabbi Chanan, who said that it's a Torah thing that everything combines in the kli, that still can make sense with Rabbi Akiva's shita. However, the Gemara is going to now bring
a question, please. If the Torah law d'oraisa says it needs this kind of a bottom, why did the Rabbanan come and add on to it that it doesn't? What's the point?
No. So the rabbis don't say that it doesn't need the bottom, that it doesn't need the kli. What the rabbis are doing is saying that in a case where a bottom is not necessary, where a kli is not necessary, if you do use a kli, then it will be able to combine everything in terms of making everything tamei. But they don't go against what the Torah is saying in terms of that you need a kli when you need a kli.
They're adding an additional factor. Why?
Well, what do you mean? The rabbis like to add different additional things.
They decree that even if a vessel doesn't have an interior, it's still combined.
Yeah.
Why are they adding that? If the Torah didn't say that, why are they adding that?
Because there's an understanding that you could put things in a giant ladle, or you could put things in on a plate. And so when you put something on a plate, there's not really a receptacle, but it's clearly a kli, meaning you're clearly putting it onto something. It's not like you're putting this over there and this over here. No, you're putting everything together on this flat surface, so we're going to call this a kli. However, you know, the Torah was only referring to something that looks more like a cup, like a receptacle. So that's the difference. They're not really adding, they're kind of like extending. It's the semantics, but yeah. So now we just explained how Rabbi Chanan's opinion that says that this is a Torah mandated rule that a kli can combine everything regarding Kodesh, that Rabbi Akiva's opinion can still be meshed with it. The Gemara still now goes out of its way to say, actually, there is another perspective out there that says that this is all rabbinic. Says the Gemara, Upliga de Rabbi Chanan under Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, that this statement of Rabbi Chanan, that this combination rule, as it were, is a Torah mandated rule. So it's clearly arguing with the opinion of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Damar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. May he do so shall Rabbi Akiva nishneis mishnah zo. That it was on the basis of Rabbi Akiva's original testimony that we quoted earlier that the Mishnah of ours in Chagiga was taught. In other words, according to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, this ruling that we have in our Mishnah, that this notion that things can combine in a kli, and if one thing is touched and becomes tameh, then everything becomes tameh, that ruling that Rabbi Chanan says is a Torah given ruling, or based on a pasuk, according to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, our ruling is based on the Mishnah with Rabbi Akiva, and therefore if Rabbi Akiva's ruling is rabbinic, then clearly our Mishnah is rabbinic. What then would he say about the pasuk that Rabbi Chanan uses? He would say it's like an asmachta. It's a nice hint, but that at the end of the day, it still is going to be a rabbinic idea. Okay, so with that, the Gemara goes further. So says the Gemara, now talking about the next case of the Mishnah, that Haravi'i Bakodesh Pasul. So we know, again, as far as Tumah and Tahara goes, that once something that is Tumah touches something else and it's Matami something else, then the next item will always be one step lower. So if you have a Rishon Latuma, then the next thing that the thing that it touches will make it Shani, and so on and so forth. However, there is a limit. That's not like you can have like 30 extensions from Tuma. However, depending on how holy the item is, that will determine how Tame it could get. So for example, when it comes to Truma, the lowest level of Tuma regarding Truma is Shlishi, and the lowest level regarding Kodesh is Revi'i. So says the Gemara, HaRevi'i BaKodesh Pasul, that the Revi'i in the case of Kodesh is going to be Pasul, meaning that a Shlishi can make, when it comes to Kodesh, a Shlishi could make something else Tame, that becomes unfit. However, it's not going to be, let's just clarify for a second, there's Tame and there's Pasul. Tame means that it itself becomes impure and has the ability to be Matame something else. Pasul means that it becomes impure, but that it no longer has the ability to pass on Tuma. So basically, when it comes to Revi'i for Kodesh, so that will be Pasul, but it's not Tame. It becomes impure itself, but it cannot pass on Tuma. I mean, that means that it's the lowest level of Tuma regarding Kodesh. When it comes to Truma, so that Pasul level is Shlishi, meaning the Shani will then make something into a Shlishi. The Shlishi will be that base level, and then if that Shlishi touches something else in Truma world, then nothing happens to it. It's totally fine. So with that, so the Mishnah says that there is such a thing as a Revi'i when it comes to Kodesh, says the Gemara. Tanya was taught in the Brice. So Amar Rabbi Yossi says, Minayan the Revi'i Bakodesh Shehu Pasul. Where do we know this idea that when it comes to a Revi'i in the case of a Kodesh, that it's going to be Pasul? Vidinu, well, it's clearly a Kavachomer. Umam Chusar Kipurim Shem Mutar Betruma Pasul Bakodesh. If when it comes to Mechusar Kippurim, so Mechusar Kippurim, just again to review, is someone who was Tameh, he was Tovel in the Mikvah, he already had nightfall pass, now he's just waiting for to be able to ring the Korban the next morning. So we have a Kal V'chomer, that Uma Mechusar Kippurim Shem Mutar B'Truma Pasul B'Kodesh, that if even a Mechusar Kippurim, if even a Mechusar Kippurim, who is allowed to eat Truma, still he is not allowed to eat Kodesh, then Shlishi Puzzle, but Truma, then when it comes to a Shlishi, that's going to be considered Puzzle for Truma, Eino Din Sheyaseh Revi La Kodesh, isn't it clear that it should create the Revi in the case of Kodesh? Meaning, it's an interesting Kal V'chomer. Basically, what we're saying is that when it comes to Kodesh, we know Kodesh is a little bit stricter. The Mechusar Kippurim proves that he can eat Truma, but he can't eat Kodesh. So if the Truma can only be, if the Truma can become Shlishi Tameh, then clearly the Kodesh could become even more Tameh, meaning it could become Revi'i Tameh. That's essentially the Kal V'chomer. And we also we learn that the Shlishi is able to become Tame. And we also learned that the Shlishi is going to be considered Tame when it comes to Kodesh items. We learned this from a specific Pasuk. And Revi'i can become a Puzzle regarding Kodesh through a Kal V'chomer. So essentially, this conclusion in the Mishnah, which we're going to learn out a little bit more now in just a second. So we're saying two things. We say that the Shlishi level of Tumah that exists regarding Kodesh, that's based on a pasuk, and the Revi'i level of Tumah, that's based on the Kal V'chomer. Says the Gemara further, now explaining this, Shlishi la Kodesh min HaTorah minayin. When Rabbi Yossi says, just a second ago, that a Shlishi is going to be considered Tameh in the case of a Kodesh, we learn this from a pasuk. How does he know such a thing? What's the pasuk? Dechseh, because the pasuk says, regarding the meat of Kodesh, the basar asher yiga b'chol Tameh lo yechel, and the meat that touches anything Tameh shall not be eaten. So milo askinan dinaga b'shini. So since the pasuk is referring to meat that touches anything tame, so if it's anything tame, so then aren't we dealing with the case that even if the meat touched a sheni latuma v'kama rachmana lo yachel, and therefore the pasuk and what does the Torah say that this food shall not be eaten? So therefore it's clear that according to this pasuk that the pasuk is endorsing kodesh which touches sheni will become a shlishi and not be a kosher for consumption. So here you have it, the Shlishi min HaTorah for Kodesh. Revi'i mika v'chomer. And when Rabbi Yossi says that we learn the Revi'i can learn out, the Revi'i regarding Kodesh, can we learn that from a kav v'chomer? So hada amar, and that's what we said a second ago, that you learn it out because of the Mechusar Kippurim, that was the kav v'chomer that we had above at the beginning of the Braisa. Okay, so that was the eighth case. Now the ninth case of the Mishnah. Ubetruma im nitmes. So we have, when it comes to Truma, so an interesting halacha regarding the hands. We know that nowadays we always consider our hands tame in a sense, in that we have to do netilas yadayim before we eat bread and the like. And this is something that goes all the way back to the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in which before you ate Truma, there was a concern that maybe your hands became tame, so you have to wash your hands. So the Mishnah explains that when it comes to Truma, if one of your hands becomes tame, then the other one is still going to be considered tahor. But, says the Mishnah, that in a case where you're handling Kodesh items, if one of your hands became tame, then the other hand essentially will be assumed, more or less, we'll see what this means in a second, the other hand in essence will become Tameh as well, such that you have to be Tovel both of your hands in a mikvah before you partake of the Kodesh food. So let's see what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Shizvi. Rav Shizvi said, B'chiburin Shanu. This law in the Mishnah that we had is only in regard to the case where the hands are essentially like joined. I guess they're like linked together at the time that the second hand is touching the Kodesh. Aval shalo b'chiburin lo, but when they are not at that, when the hands are not joined at the time that the second hand is touching the Kodesh, then the first hand does not make the second one tummy. So it's a pretty extensive thought process. But basically, you have one tummy hand and then it's touching the other tummy hand, and that tummy hand is touching the Kodesh. If, however, this tummy hand touched the second hand. The second hand now is removed from the tummy hand. Now the second hand touches the Kodesh, then the Kodesh is not going to become tummy. They have to be touching. That's according to Rav Shizvi. So then the Gemara says, what? Esve Abaye, Abaye says, what are you talking about? Yad neguva mitame chaverta, that a dry hand, that is tummy, makes its counterpart, its other hand, the other hand, tummy as well. Letame La Kodesh, to make Kodesh that it touches tummy. So in other words, if I have a dry tummy hand, so it could make my other hand tummy as well regarding Kodesh, such that if the second hand touches the Kodesh, then the Kodesh will become tummy. Avalola Truma, but this does not work on a Truma level. Truma will not become tummy this way from that second hand. Divrei Rebbe, that's what Rebbe says. Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda says, if so, that the dry hand, the original first dry hand, that is tame, it makes the second hand tame only so that if you touch Kodesh with that second hand, it makes that Kodesh puzzle, but not tame. Aval lo the tame, right? But it doesn't make it tame, it only makes it puzzle. Fine. So I amrat bishlama, so it's a little complicated, so let's go slow. I amrat bishlama shelo b'chiburin. So it makes a lot of sense if you say that the chumra of the one hand contaminating the other, that it applies even when they are not joined, when the second hand touches the Kodesh. Right, Chaynu Rivbuse Dineguva, because that's the big novelty of the sheet of Rebbe of the opinion of Rebbe, saying that this chumra applies when the first hand is dry. But if you say that Rav Shivzi, as Rav Shivzi does, that when the hands are joined, the chumra applies. Shalom bechibur and lo, but when they are not joined, the chumra does not apply. My Rivbuse Dineguva. Then what's this big novelty of Rebbe that he says that this applies even when the first hand is dry? Meaning, at the end of the day, Rebbe is offering a chumra over here, or a chiddush, as it were, that one hand is dry, and the other hand, that the one hand is dry, and that if you're going to follow the opinion of Rav Shivzi in terms of imagining what's going on over here, so you have a dry tummy hand touching this other hand, that hand is touching the Kodesh, so of course of course it's going to be tame. The fact that Rebbe says that it's dry, what's the chiddush that it's dry? It must mean to tell you that even if they're not touching, that still the second hand has the ability to make something else, to make the Kodesh tame. So again, so my revusa dineguva. So what's this extra novelty of Rebbe's opinion that says that the decree would even apply when the first hand is dry? If our concern the entire time is that the first hand itself might have touched the Kodesh, right? That's the concern of Rav Shivzi, right? Rav Shivzi saying that the hands need to be touching each other for me to say that the second hand could make the Kodesh tame. It's because maybe my first hand touched the tame to begin with, right? So then this concern exists whether the first hand is dry, is wet or dry. That would, right? It could be matame even when it's dry. Because. So then at the end of the day, why did Rebbe come and add this extra idea of saying that the hand has to be dry? Clearly, it must be that there's an extra chumra when it comes to Kodesh. That it's not just if my first tummy hand is touching my second tummy hand, and then that touches Kodesh, that the Kodesh will become tummy. It's even if I let go from my first hand that was tummy, and now I take the second hand and touch the Kodesh, that even so, that could become tummy. That must be what the halacha is, and therefore Abaye is coming along to reject that which Rav Shizvi said, that they don't have to be touching each other in order to be metame the Kodesh. So now, So now the Gemara is going to go one step further and explain that there is actually a dispute between the Amorayim. That we have the following dispute between the Amorayim as follows. The Itmar Nami, it was also said that Amar Reish Lakish says Lo Shano Ela Yado, that they taught this Chumrah in our Mishnah only with regard to his other hand. Okay, now we're on the top of Chav Dal at Amad Beis, meaning Aval Yad Chaveiro Lo, but they didn't teach this Chumrah with regard to the hand of the friend. Meaning we say there's hand one and hand two. So which hand number two? So according to Reish Lakish, it means my second hand. But let's say I use my hand as hand number one, and then I have my friend, and I use his one of his hands as hand number two, then this whole chumrah doesn't apply, such that if my hand is tameh, and I touch one of his hands, and that hand touches kodesh, then the chumrah does not apply, according to Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, what? Echad yado, ve'echad yad chavero. Right? When our Mishnah says that one hand can make another hand tameh, that it applies even if the second hand is my hand, or if the second hand is one of my friend's hands. It doesn't make a difference. No matter what, the second hand is going to become tameh, and it can make kodesh tameh as well. This chumrah applies to a hand that was touched by any hand that was originally tameh. Lif sol avalo the tameh. Right? And when we say that this hand can make another hand tameh, it means that it can make the kodesh puzzle, but that it can make the kodesh tameh. Okay, and Rabbi Yochanan goes further now. Mimai, so from where do we know that the first hand has the ability to contaminate even someone else's hand? Midikatane seva, because we have a later clause in the Mishnah that says as follows: Shehayad mitama chaver tala kodesh avalola truma, that a hand makes its counterpart tameh regarding kodesh, but not regarding truma. Hasu lamali, why do I need the Tana to say this additional clause? Meaning, the Mishnah says as follows: Ha Tana le Reisha. We have in the Reisha that says that just saying it outside, that regarding truma, if one of a person's hands becomes tameh, then the counterpart is still tahor. Regarding kodesh, he has to be tola both of them. That was the first part of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah went ahead and said, but by the way, that a hand makes its counterpart tameh regarding kodesh, but not regarding truma. So says Rabbi Yochanan, why do we have to have the same statement basically said twice, just saying the same thing in two different ways, right? You're just going to have an extra statement reiterating the first statement. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, you learn from this, that the second statement comes to include the hand of my friend, that it could fit into the same law that my one tameh hand can contaminate my friend's hand as well, in the same way that my tameh hand can contaminate my other hand as well. Okay, good. With that, says the Gemara, Va'af Reish Lakish Adarbe, even Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan made such a good point that even Reish Lakish went back in arguing on this idea, and he said, you're right, it has to be that my hand can also contaminate my friend's hands. Dama Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Ami, Amar Reish Lakish, that Rabbi Yonah said in the name of Rabbi Ami, he said in the name of Reish Lakish, that Echad Yado Ve'echad Yad Chavero, that this Chumrah of the Mishnah is whether the second hand is his hand or whether it's his friend's hand. Be'osahayad. And this chumrah applies only to a hand that was touched by that hand which was originally tameh. Lisol of alula tameh. And when we say that one hand makes another hand tameh, it's that second hand can make the kodesh puzzle, but not that the second hand can make the kodesh tameh. And this statement that the second hand has the ability to make kodesh puzzle, but not to make it tameh, is actually It's a disagreement between Tanayim. Meaning, we'll see some Tanayim hold that you could make a tameh, whereas others hold that you can make it, that you only make a puzzle. We have a Mishnah that kol haposel b'truma, that anything that makes truma puzzle mitameh yadayim li'os shnios, can also make the hands tameh as shnios latuma. V'yad mitama chaverta, and a hand can make its counterpart tameh as well. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua, that's what Rabbi Yeshua says. V'chachamim omrim, but the chachamim say, yadayim shnios hein, that the hands are going to be considered shnios. V'ein sheni osa sheni, and a sheni can't make that which touches it a sheni as well. So my lav sheni hu delo avid. So are we not saying that the chachamim mean as follows, that it's only a sheni that the first hand cannot make the second one into hashlishi of it, but clearly it makes the second hand into a shlishi, and therefore ultimately what we see over here is that Puzzle. Oh, I see. Okay, fine. So according to Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, we ultimately see that that you would learn out the based on the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that clearly Kodesh can only be made pasul, that the last stage of Kodesh is going to be pasul, whereas according to the Chachamim, you would say, no, maybe the last stage... That according to Rabbi Yeshua, you would say that this second hand will have the ability to make the meat, the Kodesh meat, pasul, but not tameh. However, according to the Chacham, you might say that no, maybe the second tameh hand has the ability to be matameh the Kodesh, so that this Kodesh meat is not only pasul, but it's also tameh, that it could transfer tumah on to something else as well. So we see that there's a machlokas regarding what the Kodesh will be made into based on being touched by this second hand, says the Gemara. Dilma lo shani avir lo shlishi. So how do you know, says the Gemara, that the Chachamim mean that the first hand makes the second one into a shlishi? Maybe they mean that the first hand neither makes the second hand a sheni or a shlishi. So in other words, you're making too many assumptions, says the Gemara. So let's not assume that the Chachamim really would say that you can make the Kodesh into something tummy and not just that you can make it into puzzle. Elaki hane tonight. Rather, we say that whether or not the second hand has the ability to make the Kodesh into a tameh is dependent on the machlokas, this argument between these two following tanaim. Says the Gemara, the Tanya that we have in a Braisa, Yad Neguva Mitames Chaverta, that a dry hand that's tameh can make its counterpart tameh, the tameh b'kodesh, to make Kodesh that it touches tameh. Avalola Truma, but it can't do that with Truma. That the second hand, if it touches the truma, it won't even make that truma pasul, let alone making that truma tummy. The very Rebbe, that's what Rebbe says. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, maybe Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda says, O Sayyad, that this chumra that we have only applies to the hand that was originally tummy. Lif sol aval lo la tummy. And the chumra is meant to give the second hand the ability to make Kodesh pasul, but not to make Kodesh tummy. Okay, a little complicated, but that's what the Gemara says. One final part, and then we'll stop at the Mishnah. So says the Gemara now further, Ochlin ochalim neguvin beyadayim mesoavo. So we say we can eat dry food with contaminated. If my hands are tummy, I can eat dry food. What kind of dry food? So I can eat dry truma. But when it comes to Kodesh, even if my hands are dry and therefore they are not going to make the Kodesh food, it's not going to be machshir them latuma and therefore make them tummy. So we say, even so, I still cannot eat my Kodesh food. I can only take sederis with truma, but not with Kodesh. Says the Gemara. Tanya, we have a braisa. Amar Bichanina ben Antignos. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos said, V'chiyesh neguva l'kodesh. Is there any like advantage to something dry in the case of Kodesh, right? Part of what makes Kodesh so chashav is that they can become susceptible to tumah even without becoming wet. Meaning, so this chumrah of the Mishnah that says that I can't use dry hands to eat Kodesh, so. Obviously, right? There's no advantage when I have dry hands when it comes to Kodesh, because I'm so careful with Kodesh that even with dry hands, if they're tummy, I won't touch the Kodesh. So therefore, we must be referring to a case where I have a friend, and my friend, he went ahead and stuck Kodesh foods into my own mouth. That's what's going on. Or maybe I used like some sort of like a toothpick or a stick. I don't know why not a fork. But I don't know, you use something to put the, maybe the point is that you use something that's not an extension of your own hand, but something sort of extraneous to put the food into your mouth. And after you then put it into your hand, then he wanted to eat like a radish or an onion that was made of chulin with them. So the Kodesh gazer b'hu rabbanan. And so therefore, when it comes to Kodesh food, the rabbi said that you can't also... That you can't eat the chulin foods simultaneously with your hands, even if they're dry. When it comes to truma, you could eat this chulin food with your dry tummy hands. That's the chiddush of this teaching in the Mishnah. Then finally, ha'oneinu mechusar kipurim, the last chumrah that was stated in our Mishnah says that when you have an oneing, and when you have a mechusar kipurim, who again is someone who was tovel, and the night fell, but he's now waiting for the next morning to bring his korban, so that both of these individuals require an extra tevila for kodesh, to eat kodesh food, but not to eat truma. Says the Gemara, my time, why would these people need an extra tevila for kodesh food? Because kevan dad ha'idna havu asiri. Because until this time, they were forbidden from eating kodesh foods. Atzrichinu rabban tevila. And therefore, the rabbis say you have to do a tevila before you have a kodesh, because since you were prohibited from eating kodesh, maybe you were not so careful, and therefore maybe you became tummy. So we say do an extra tevila just to make sure that you're totally tahor before you have your kodesh foods. Okay, so with that, we are at the Mishnah. A little complicated, as we know, Brian, I see you there. Feel free to see me afterwards. I know that you're new to our Daf a Week class, so you're coming in the middle of something. So it's not always as complicated as it seems. But anyways, with that, we'll wish everyone a beautiful evening. And God willing, next week we'll pick up from the Mishnah on Chaf Daled Amud Beis.